He's going to come around here a second, and they're all going to hand you a worksheet. We'll let you do that. Meantime, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All right. Thank you for forgiving your absent-minded pastor. Appreciate it. At least I brought my notes. Yeah, boy. Anybody else? Pretty good group here tonight. Amen. From behind you there, Alan. All right. Thank you so very, very much. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. We're doing the what they call the armor of God. Again, we've been talking about the spiritual battle. Old Satan wants to do whatever he can to destroy the work of God. And we are, as a church, the body of Christ. Now, we're not the only body of Christ, if you will. We're part of the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ, and God uses us in our area where we are, and we should allow him to use us. As soon as we allow the old Satan get in there to whisper in our ear and tell us, well, you know, this isn't going to work and that's bad and they shouldn't have done this and they shouldn't do this and you ought to do this and you ought to get pat on the back here. And before long, we end up with all kinds of crazy stuff. And, you know, really, Satan can't defeat us, but he can convince us to defeat ourselves. The world can't defeat us, but it can convince us to defeat ourselves. We, often our own flesh, will listen to our own self. We're, oh, tired, it's not right, someone should, you know, we'll defeat ourselves. We've got to be careful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, and you're going to be able to quote this before long, which is good. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Not strong in us, in our flesh, in the power of our might. Strong in the Lord in the power of his might. We're going to do that. We need to put on, verse 11, the whole armor of God, the complete set, not just bits and pieces. Oh, I got enough religion, I got enough of this, enough of that, I'll be okay. Put on the whole armor of God. If you do that, it says, then you may that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember, the wiles means trickery, but it has the idea of accompanying us. He just kind of walks around, giving us trouble, talking in our ear, whispering all this and that and other thing, stirring things up. You ever know there are some people that can just stir things up? I taught public school for about 6 years. I taught Christian school for another 4 years, 10 years total. And the fact is, there were certain people, if they weren't there that day, you knew you were going to have a good day. Isn't that a terrible thing to say? You knew you're going to have a good day because that one person, and in fact, sometimes it's like they didn't even do it on purpose. They just knew how to stir up trouble. You just walk in, it's just stuff. And so there are some people like that. And that's what the old devil is like. And you got to watch him because he'll just slide it in there. Just slide it in there. And, of course, you know how it is. One kid would pick on everybody else. And somehow he knew how to just when to stop. And then about that time when finally the kid who was being picked on says, stop it, the teacher walks in and he ends up being in trouble. Devil knows how to do it. He's sly, he's subtle. The serpent was more subtle than any of the creature in the garden. Subtle. So verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Those people that are getting us, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Because of that, it says, wherefore, take unto you, here it is again, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, having put on the whole armor, done everything we're supposed to do, to stand. By the way, when we put on the armor of God, it's not something we just put on and stays in place. Have you noticed that each of these pieces of armor is something you do? It's something you do or something you don't do. When it says to put on the breastplate of righteousness, it means we got to do right and purposely not do wrong. So when it says here, having done all to stand, what are we supposed to have done? Put on the whole armor of God and actually worked the armor, if you will. Put the armor to use. And it says that we will be able to withstand in the evil day. When there's a bad day, I mean, sometimes he's coming at you. That word withstand, be able to stand nose to nose with him. Don't run. Say, well, you know, I can handle this and I can handle that. But then sometimes there's some days it's just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And think, oh, my soul, one more thing. I'm going to explode. And then sure enough, one more thing shows up. He says, no, no, no. He said, we can put on the armor of God. That, it doesn't mean that we don't have a little bit of a battle. You put on the armor, you're probably going to a battle. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a battle, but we can be victorious when we put on that armor of God, that shield of faith. Everything's all right in my Father's house. It's okay. I don't understand it, but I'm going to put up that shield of faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Faith is action based on a promise command of God. It's action. Having done all to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins, the strong part of your body, the strength, those thighs, girt about with truth. That's your strength. The word of God, truths. If you don't have truth, we have nothing to stand on. Yeah, that's what we're saying. If you don't have truth, you have nothing to stand on. No wonder we back down when somebody challenges us, when somebody questions us. And it's like we don't know what to do because we don't have a leg to stand on because we don't know the Word of God. It says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, protecting all those vital organs by simply living righteously. You go out and do something wrong. Listen, you go out and get drunk, I'll guarantee you something's going to happen. Eventually, go out and do drugs, something's going to happen. You let your mind be filled with a bunch of stuff, something's going to happen. We could save ourselves a lot of problems, a lot of wounds, a lot of evil. We would just live righteously for your own sake. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That shod, it's that portion that goes between your foot, bottom of your, the sole of your foot, and all the problems, the hurt, the dirt, the stones, the rubble of the world that we've got to live on. Yes, all this stuff we're walking on all the day, but God says, I'll give you a peace that kind of isolates you from that mess. A peace that passes understanding. Listen, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall cause them to stumble. Have on there should be a peace from God. Let everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Live in that peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That wall we talked about, that wall of faith. You can't hurt me. God's in control. You say, well, Stephen was martyred. Yeah, and he went right to the glory. If you've been in my Sunday school class, you know what I'm talking about. The fiery darts. This is that old faith. Old Satan, he's shooting the stuff at us all the time. Well, you're no good. Well, you don't have anything. You can't do this. And you ought to have them. They ought to treat you. And all this stuff. You know what? I'm going to put it all in God's hands. Give it unto him who judges righteously. And then it says, take the helmet of salvation. That's as far as we're going to go tonight, that little part. Take the helmet of salvation. Let's pray, and we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. Father, thank you for some time together here this evening. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help. Got a little late start, my fault, but Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do what we need to do. I pray that your word will go forth, that your Holy Spirit will move. Help us, help me not to say anything I don't need to say, but Lord, everything that needs to be said, I want to be a help to these people. Lord, may we open our hearts and our minds through your word. I ask for your Holy Spirit to move. Speak to our hearts in that still, sweet voice that you have. And use this time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're in a spiritual battle. When we expect to win, we must fight the battle as God instructs us to fight the battle. We wrestle not against principalities, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Those that we perceive in this realm made of flesh and blood are not the enemy. like us, they're victims of the enemy. Our adversary, the devil, he's the enemy. And he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to do what he can to get us beat up. And if we resist the devil, the Bible says he will flee. That's a promise. If we resist, he will flee. That's a promise. And we are instructed to resist the devil by being steadfast in the faith. Just, we are just or to live by faith. We are to learn God's word, understand God's word, and then live out life in obedience to God's word. That's it. It's really not that difficult. Most of the time is we're trying to make the decision, well, should I go ahead and do what God says or not? I don't know, if I do what he says, that sounds a little risky. Now, I don't know whether, I mean, what I want to do myself didn't work last time, but at least I know what it is. You know, it's funny how we do these kind of things. Now, we've all heard of those who have received mortal head wounds. The thought of having a head wound is terrifying. It is one thing to be shot in the arm or the leg, but when we hear someone being shot in the head, it brings on a whole other level of fear. One strategically placed blow to the head can kill a man instantly. And a wound like that can easily cause traumatic injury to the point where the person is not ever the same again. One of the first things we think of when we hear such things is that after a head wound, life will most likely never be the same for that person. And probably not the same for the people that love him and who are in regular contact with him. We want to protect the head. The helmet is by no means the only piece of armor that is needed, but is often the first piece that is put in place when we think of protecting ourselves. Do you ever think about that? One of the first things, well, let's put a helmet on. And if you want to make someone vulnerable to your attacks, remove his helmet. You ever see some of these times that these football players are out there playing, and all of a sudden it's a big hit, and the helmet goes flying. And you know what your first thing you think is? Uh-oh, he's not protected. Well, he's got the pads on, he's got this on. But you say, no, that head is not protected. That's a very dangerous thing. One who has no helmet, he's also much more hesitant, watch, to enter the battle. Suppose you're the only one, a bunch of boys out there, and you're going to play the football out here on a vacant lot, and they all have helmets but you. Well, think about it. Oh, man, they're going to go at it, and I'm not going to be able to hit it as hard as I want to. Now, if no one has helmets, everybody's a little hesitant. We can, you know, play a little flag football will be okay. But when they're out there with their helmet on, they're out there for blood, and here I am unprotected. When one has no helmet, he's going to be much more hesitant to enter the battle. Instead of withstanding in the evil day and going nose to nose with the enemy, he more likely tries to hide from the enemy and concentrates more on defensive and evasive moves than on offensive moves to get the job done. So it is with spiritual warriors. We need to wear the helmet of salvation. I'll explain that to you. Go back to our passage here, Ephesians 6:17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. That, those few little words have a lot to do on your paper. You can see it there. That word and, yeah, I'm going to break it down, let you see it. Cumulative. In other words, there's more to the armor of God than salvation, but is also absolutely necessary. He says, take the helmet of salvation. You need it. And he says, we've had all these other things, but don't forget the helmet of salvation. The word take means to receive. It means to accept. It's different than grabbing and taking hold of it yourself. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace. He gave it to us. We receive it. We don't take salvation. Salvation is not of our own power, our own will, born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God. Born of God. Salvation is of God. He says, so along with everything we do, we need to receive the helmet. The word helmet there means to seize, to encircle, to encompass the head. It's like your knight in shining armor, you know? You put a helmet on there, and he covers every single thing except there's two little slits where his eyes can come out. Cover everything as much as we can. To encompass. You could say it this way. Allow God to put a helmet and seize, to put on a helmet and seize and encompass your head. Allow God to give this to you. And then it says, our helmet of salvation. And that word salvation means our defender, our defense. Let me give you number one on your paper. Jesus Christ is our defense and defender. Our defense and our defender. When you became in Christ, you didn't just get salvation for heaven. You get a God who walks through life with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's our hope. He's our high tower. He's our buckler. He's our shield, our fortress, and our strength. Now, a lot of people don't understand that. They don't live by that. They don't experience that because many times, like we talked about this morning, they don't fear him enough to surrender to him. In other words, we don't put the helmet of salvation on. Now, watch. You are saved, and that changes everything. I think a lot of Christians don't understand how much they got. There's a whole package deal that came with salvation. Now, I know we talk a lot about things, well, we need to keep ourselves out of problems. That's the breastplate of righteousness. That's part of it. But the fact is, you're saved. If you realize that you're a sinner, and if you don't think you're a sinner, go look in the mirror. If you don't think you're a sinner, ask your wife. Ask your husband. Ask your kids. We'll find out real soon. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How's that? God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, there's some people who think, well, I don't need any God dying for me. Well, you'll figure that out a little later then. Is there anyone who's never sinned is God himself. That's why he was able to die for our sins. I can't die for your sins. You can't die for my sins. Anyone who can die for his sins is something, is a person, a being that has no sin of its own. Any being that has no sin of its own is God. We're supposed to confess the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Confess what? Jesus is God. He's the only sinless one who could die for our sins. He's the only one. We're saved. If you've settled that in your heart, you have salvation. It's forever. You can't add anything to it. What can you add to the death of the only begotten Son of God? And what sin could you have sinned that the death of the only begotten Son of God couldn't pay for? Was it not enough? Was it not enough of a sacrifice to pay for our sins? Infinite righteousness given for our infinite sin. Paid in full. When you're saved, that changes everything. We are in Christ, and watch, thus we are in the helmet. We are in our helmet. Do not allow anyone to take that thought and that mindset from you. Romans 8:31. Did I give you that on your paper? Just the reference. Turn to it with me real quick. We'll turn to several passages. So keep your Bible ready there. What did I do with my copy of that thing? Romans 8:31, look what it says here. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So when you put on that helmet of salvation, you realize when you go out there in the warfare, you don't have to walk around like somebody high and be worried about. You're saved. You're a child of God. You have the righteousness of God. You're not perfect, but the righteousness, the imputed righteousness of God flowing through you. You are His. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, put your head down and go. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. This is what He says here. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Look who I got on my side. Remember picking teams in high school? Or in junior high and gym class, you pick teams. You know, and you think, boy, I want to be on that guy's team. Well, I want to be on that guy's team. They got this big old. It depends on what the game you were playing, you know. There was a couple guys that they weren't much if you were going to do a lot of track or something, but they were big enough. If you were going to play football, they were the whole line all by themselves. You know what I mean? Put them out there. I want him. All he has to do is kind of stand there. You know, the sumo wrestler. You're not getting past this guy. You want that. That's who you want on your side. He's bigger. My daddy's bigger than the world's daddy. They're working about their father, the devil. Listen, my father, we get to cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're His, and we can cry, Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. Daddy. Look who's on my side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He that spared not His own Son. Why, is God really with me? I said, well, listen. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. If He would do that, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He's on your side. As David says, the Lord's for me. The Lord's for me. He's on my side. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, shall He not also freely give us all things? Watch. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know what old devil says? Are you sure you're saved? Well, I'm trusting what Jesus did on the cross. Full payment for my sin. You really think He's going to care? Listen, who can lay the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. It wasn't me that justified you. I didn't stand up there. God, I really think you ought to let him in. I really do. I really think you ought to let Darren in. Yeah, Darren needs all the help you get. I really think you ought to let Darren into heaven. He doesn't care one hoot what Sterling Wall says. But I tell you what, it's God that justified. He makes the decision. Come on in. Why? My Son died and paid for your sins, and you've accepted that. Who is he that condemneth? Well, you're no good. God doesn't care about what's happening to you. Wait a minute. It's Christ that died. Listen, he paid a good price. You can't beat the price. He paid everything that needed to be paid. There's nothing done. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, you want to make sure that it's paid for? He's also risen again. If he was still dead, you wouldn't know whether it's paid for or not. He's dead. He died. He was buried. He rose again and said, it's all done. It's paid. Can't condemn me. You can't condemn me to hell anymore. You cannot even condemn me and say, well, he'll leave you. He'll forsake you. He didn't care about you. Done. I'm his child. Now, he may whoop me because I'm out doing the wrong thing, but he does chasten whom he loves. Not for retaliation, not for retribution, but for restoration. He wants us back. Is Christ to die? Yeah, that is risen again and is at the right hand of God who also maketh intercession for us. He's standing there right at the end of that, right beside the Father saying, I know, but it's Sterling. I paid for his sins too. I know, there's Sterling again. He messed up. He paid for his sins. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. If God has pronounced us justified, and can do that because he paid the high price of his Son for our salvation, then who can take our salvation away from us? No one. So keep that in and on your head. That's what I'm saying. Don't let anybody mess with your mind. Don't let them poke in there and say, well, you know, you blew it too much. You blew it too big this time. I think God's done.
then we've taken off the helmet of salvation. We're not ready to go to battle. We're weak. I can face everything tomorrow because I know God's with me. Not because I deserve it, but for by grace he saved me through faith in him. I've got the helmet of salvation.
So what's going to keep us? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? All these things. Oh, my soul. Has God left me? He hasn't left me. Face the world. Look at Job. All the things he went through. But listen, God was using him for not only his sake, not only for his friend's sake, but for millions and millions and millions of people ever since the time of Job. One of the earliest books in the Bible, if not the earliest written. To show us, listen, fear God, trust him no matter what happens. We may not understand. Job went to the grave probably not knowing why that all happened. He knows now, but he didn't know. Just trust him. Verse 36, that is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, he says there's many awful things in life, and it seems like they come one after another. But verse 37, nay, watch it. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We got to keep our helmet on. I'm saved. I can face him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I've got him. When I got saved, put on that helmet, I can face the world. Watch. Even if we die in battle, we win. Salvation, the helmet of salvation, has made us more than conquerors. Death does not get the victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, death, oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. Thanks be to God who giveth the victory. Number two, salvation is our helmet. You kind of got that idea, but I want to put it in writing there. Salvation is our helmet. We need to be wrapped up in the truths of the Word of God concerning the matter of our salvation. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you don't understand your salvation, you're going to have a very thin helmet. Some people are walking around with helmets that's all nice and shiny, but it's made of aluminum foil. It moves, it bends, it cracks, it tears. Our helmet should be as strong as the world, as the power of God. The word helmet there, remember, it says means to seize all the head, to encircle the head, to encompass the head. We should not allow anyone to mess with our thinking on the Word of God. 2 Peter 2, do you have it? We need to turn to it. Turn to it with me if you don't. I can't remember what I put on your paper or not. Got it? 2 Peter 2 says this, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Well, you know, I know he's supposed to be the virgin-born Son of God and all this, but he's a Son of God. I don't want to say the Son of God, a Son of God. Watch this. There's some Bible translations that talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Some of them say, God so loved the world he gave his one and only Son. I have a problem with that. So what's the difference? He's the only begotten Son. That means he's the one that actually is God himself. But hey, I'm a Son of God. We are sons. We are children of God when we're born again. Joint heirs with Christ. I'm part of the family by the spirit of adoption. But I'm one of the family and I'm just the same. Miss Carrie just played, I always think about it, Miss Carrie who just played a violin for us a little while ago is an adopted daughter. You never know it. It looks like the rest of them.
But she's adopted. You say, well, I didn't know that. Well, that's because you treat her just like any other child. They are, she is their daughter. We are sons and daughters of God. These people that come here with these damnable heresies start trying to talk folks out of the fact is, listen, I'm sorry, but I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. He just thinks he's a God. I'm not a Mormon. They think he's just a God. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist. The fact is, he is the only God. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's God the Son and the Son of God. If we deny the Lord that bought us, then we have no Savior. And thus we have no salvation. And that's enough to stop us in our tracks and get us off the paths of righteousness. The fact is, we have no salvation. We don't have any helmet to face the world with. The verse goes on, verse 1 says, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Come on here and open up. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, you have the helmet on. Keep it on. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody talk you and taking that thing off. Not that you lose your salvation, but lose the defense and the feeling of peace about it. It says, all and through covetous shall they with feigned words, made up words, make merchandise of you. That really means they're going to sell you down the river. They're going to sell you down the river. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 1 Timothy 6 says this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. In other words, keep your helmet on, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Keep your helmet on. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You're not embarrassed about it. Rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Ungodliness will at least defeat us if it doesn't kill us. Now we say, why are you doing it this way? What's under your helmet? A physical helmet. What's under your helmet? What's inside your head? Your thinker. Your thinker. And what happens is everything the world throws at us, we've got to filter it through. The fact is, I'm saved. I'm saved. It's signed, sealed, delivered. I'm His. Done. But see, the world comes in and want to get in that brain and pick it. All the vain babblings and this thought, science so-called, they want to just kind of steal your faith in your own salvation and pull it out. You've got to protect what goes in your head. This is what goes in your head. Not Sterling Walsh, the Word of God. Spend some time in it. Now listen, that's one of the reasons why I spend so much time reading the Bible. I hate to say this, but most people come to church, don't read their Bible when they go home. But we at least read it when we get here. I don't want you to have a helmet of Sterling Walsh on. You don't need a helmet of Dr. Phil. You don't need a helmet of The View. There's a lot of helmets that people put on. We don't need those helmets. We need a helmet of truth here, the Word of God, salvation settled in your heart. Letter B, one blow to the head can, number one, change our thinking. One blow to the head can change our thinking. They even have a movie about this, Concussion. You see that? They're going to have a movie about concussion. All the talk about concussions in these ball games and so forth. Don't get me started on that. But anyway, it can change thinking. It alters our ability to think clearly and soberly. It kind of changes our ability to weigh things truly and accurately. Somebody gets a strong blow to the head, they can't think straight. And sometimes these people with their vain babblings, these science falsely so-called, can take a blow to the head.
And when it comes, you know what? It doesn't have to shake us up. It doesn't have to throw us off, because the fact is, the solidity of my faith and my salvation, according to the Word of God, builds a barrier there. It can't even come through. In fact, the fact when someone said, well, you're not saved by grace, you want to laugh in their face. Are you an idiot? Do you not know the Word of God? Do you not know that we're all sinners? Do you not know that we're all bound for hell except for the grace of God? You know what? Those old things who blows the head start bouncing off. You don't even think about it anymore. Now, there was a time probably when you got saved. I wonder if I'm saved today. I thought I was saved. I remember a time when I was young. I went to a church where they just kind of talked about all this, and somehow you're kind of supposed to all bring it together. You know? And I used to lay in bed thinking, okay, am I saved or am I not saved? And there was a lot of talk back in the 70s about Jesus coming back, you know, and the second coming, and my mom was hit hard about that and so forth. And I believe it's the next thing, the rapture's going to come. And if I remember thinking, okay, am I ready or am I not ready? I don't know. And there was a time I had to get it settled. I was 11 years old, did it on my own, but I knew that God, I had to sit down and something happened. Some of you have heard the story, and I had to get it settled. And I'm going to find out. I found out, you know what I found out? What I was truly believing. Jesus Christ died and paid for my sins, and that plus nothing, minus nothing, that's what's going to pay my way to heaven. You know what? There was a peace and a comfort that came into my heart. I don't doubt it anymore. It's done. You can blow off steam all you want that the Bible's not true, salvation's not true. It doesn't hurt me because my helmet of salvation doesn't let it penetrate. Put on your helmet. Number two, one blow to the head can change our view of reality. Our view of reality. Things that we once thought were true now seem a little fuzzy. Someone says something and says, oh, well, I didn't think of that. Well, I wonder if I can go someplace, I could end up someplace where God's not there, or maybe the Word's not true. Maybe, oh, my soul, what? Get the facts of the Word of God settled in your heart. Sometimes we begin seeing, when you've been one blow to the head and you have a bad view of reality, you start seeing things that aren't there. Listen, some people start taking the Word of God. Before long, they're starting to do this and do this and do that, and they're messing things up. Now looking at it wisely. And as soon as someone can convince you to doubt your salvation by grace or doubt the salvation of Christ, they can render you, number three, helpless. They can render you helpless. There are some folks who are defenseless against some folks who come knocking at our door, some person at work, some relative who wants to make fun of your religion. And by the way, it's not religion, it's faith, but they want to make fun of what you're doing. There's people, listen, there are people who have told me, I go past there on Sunday night. Boy, there's people there on Sunday night. There's people there on Wednesday night. See, there's always people there. What are they there for? We're going to open up the Bible and learn what's in the Word of God. They want to make you question. And as soon as we start questioning all this, and we just kind of, well, I guess, you know, we're weakening that helmet of salvation. And it may look shiny, but that aluminum foil is not going to spare you from a blow to the head. Letter C. One blow to the head can stop us or make us useless. It can make us helpless. But something else it does to Christians. By the way, that's why we should never get tired of hearing the gospel. Now, I realize that every Sunday morning, I shouldn't give a gospel message every Sunday morning. I mean, it's nice for a while, but after a while, you know, you need to grow, right? You know, teach all things, teach and observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. We need those. But the fact is, don't turn it off when I throw the gospel in there. Listen, there's somebody who needs to put a helmet on. And actually, if you think about it,
if you listen, is putting another layer on your own helmet. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We'll laminate another one on there, another one on there, another one on there. The fact is, that is such a done deal. I mean, they can throw bowling balls at you at your head. It's going to bounce off. Doesn't mean anything anymore. It's the word of God. I've got salvation. But some people, if you know what, they don't serve right. They kind of get questioned about things, and they kind of drop out. 1 Thessalonians 5, you have that? Look at that with me. But of the times and of the seasons, I got some of them small because that's just some other stuff in there, but I got some main parts I want you to see. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. And that day should that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are of the children of light and the children of day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, clear thinking. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us, who are of the day, we're of the light, we're born again, be sober, putting on that breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Why are we scared of the world? I have hope, a confident expectation. Why do I have hope? Because I have salvation. You can't defeat me there. It's done. It's settled. It's all over. I'm saved. Forget about trying to talk me out of it. Now, that's not something you work up. That's something from grows up from the inside out. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're not going to talk yourself into feeling saved. The word of God will convince you. The word of God will settle you. Know the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do not allow anyone to talk you out of trusting your salvation by grace and your trust in God's preservation. We have salvation, we have preservation. Number three, I know it's getting late here. Number three, our helmet guards our cognitive activities. Our helmet guards our cognitive activities. That means our thinking. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of stuff here, and if you can turn to it fast, fine. Letter A, we must protect our mind and guard it from all the thoughts of the world. What comes shooting at the helmet? What the world. We have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so who's shooting at us? The world, the flesh, and the devil. So we've got to guard ourselves from what's coming into our brain from all those. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." He says he wants you to know what you got when you got saved. You didn't just get salvation, you got regeneration. You got restoration. We've got so many things. We ought to know what we've been freely been given of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the person who's not saved, all he knows is what his flesh says. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You got saved, he came in. He's that still small voice trying to teach you, go back to the word of God. Well, I know this church over here is going to tell me, it's okay, you know. Go back to the Word of God.
Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Watch, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Colossians 2:6 says that we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And then verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It says the world's going to try to convince you. They may even try to use religion to convince you. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of our of all principality and power. 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't allow anyone to mess with your mind. Don't allow others to change your thinking. You say, well, you're scared. Listen, the world's at us all the time. If we don't keep our nose in the book, eventually we'll start thinking about what the world says. Our minds are like sieves. It just keeps leaking out. You ever see those sieves in the sandbox? You put it in there, and you can fill it up, but eventually it's all going to leak out. And you fill it back up, and it's going to leak out. You fill it up, it's going to leak out. You know what? That's a wonderful thing, actually, because, you know, if we keep filling it up with the Word of God, the old stuff, the bad stuff starts to leak out too. Fill it with the good stuff. Let the old stuff just gradually leak out the bottom. The world. Letter B, we must protect our mind and guard it from all the thoughts of the flesh. That's ourselves. All the thoughts of the flesh. We can't blame the world for all our sins. Some of them we think up ourselves. In fact, you know, you say, well, there was Cain and Abel. You know, we talk about Cain had the same parents that Abel did. He lived in the same town that Abel did. It wasn't a town, it was one house. Can't blame the video games. You can't blame the kid next door. You can't blame the schools. It was in him. By the way, there's a murderer in every heart of every person who's ever been born. Oh, no, I could never. You'd be surprised. Listen, a mild example. Have you ever just kind of been in a situation, all of a sudden something came flying out of your mouth, you thought, where in the world did that come from? Well, that's not me. Well, was it me? It came out of your mouth. There is sin in the heart of every person ever born. And out of the mouth comes abundance of the heart. Whatever our heart has a good bit in there, that's what's going to come. You fill up a glass of water. Do you ever fill up a glass of water until it almost looks like it's rounded over? You shake that thing, the water comes out. When someone shakes you up, what comes out? That's what's inside. Maybe somebody has to shake you really hard, but it's still you. It's still you. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. A little further down it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, I am the Lord's. I have no business living in the flesh. Letter C. We must protect our mind and guard it from all the thoughts of the devil. All the thoughts of the devil. In John 8:42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. But do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. See, we are supposed to be the children of God. Don't allow the devil to tell you you're not. Don't take your cues from the devil. Matthew 4:3 says, and when the tempter came to Jesus, he says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now watch me. The devil came to Jesus and said, well, okay. Of course, he was fully man, fully God. And all men are tempted such as we, yet without sin. So old Satan came to Jesus and he said, well, if you're saved, go ahead and try it. The whole world, otherwise, if you're saved. Now, you know what? Listen, we've been told, I don't deserve salvation. That's true. I have no right to be saved. That's true. I haven't done anything to earn it. What am I going to do? If you're saved. Wait a minute. Whoa. Old Satan always gives you just enough to get you in trouble. He doesn't give you the whole story. Because we're saved by grace through faith. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, the rest of the story, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And old Satan comes to you and says, well, go ahead, try it, if you're really saved. Well, thought I was. What was Jesus' response? Scripture. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, he says, the Scripture. Not only did he use Scripture to answer him, but the Scripture is the answer. If you're saved, the Bible says I am. I'm not living by what you say. I'm living by what he said, and he says, it's a done deal. I'm saved for all eternity. My life is not what you think. My life is not what the flesh thinks. My life is what God says is true. Anyway, I want to be done. Let me give you these points real quick. You can. Number 4, our helmet should hold our thoughts captive. The helmet takes things out, but also keeps things in. Our helmet, it means to seize all of the head, to encircle, to encompass the head. Number 4, the helmet should hold our thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not... Just sound familiar? Huh? This is a whole different passage. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say that? It goes against what the Bible says. I don't want to hear it. Okay, well, no. Does it line up with this? Fairy tales. Every thought into obedience of Christ, captive, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Don't you tell me to go against this word of God. I'm not doing it. Now, I'm not saying you're fighting the person who's telling you that. In your heart, you're saying, I'm not doing that. Got the word of God. In fact, it almost got me. He almost pulled the wool over my eyes that time. Not going to do it again. Not going to do it again. Revenge against my thoughts. Almost going the wrong direction. See, we must process every thought through the truth of our own salvation. We must process every thought through the truth of our own salvation. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm set apart to God. Everything, every thought, listen, I'm saved. Get up in the morning and say, I'm saved. That means I've got regeneration. I've got restoration. I've got the Lord walking with me. We're going to face the day together. Letter D, keeping our salvation in the front of our minds gives us hope of eternal life. Hope. Hope is confident expectation. We cannot ever take our salvation for granted. Yes, once saved, we're always saved. But never allow that fact to be moved from the forefront of our minds and our thoughts. Well, I'm saved. I forget about that. I don't worry about that anymore. Oh, no. Because your helmet's going to get thinner, 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 thinner. Don't allow it to happen. I have hope. Listen, Stephen, we talked about in Sunday school. He was looking unto Jesus. He saw him standing at the right hand of the Father. What did he have? He had hope. You may be killing my body, but I'm heading home. Letter E, keeping our salvation in the front of our minds gives us peace. It gives us peace. No matter how bad it gets, even if our physical lives are taken, we're still safe in the arms of Jesus. The worst thing that could happen is that we leave this world of trouble and go to paradise. That's the worst thing that could happen. We leave a world of trouble and go to paradise. Letter F, keeping our salvation in front of our thoughts keeps us humble. It spares us from our own mess. When we are kept humble, we're kept under the spout of the grace of God. We're not defeated by our own pride as God resists us. Because humble yourselves, therefore, 1 Peter 5, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. You're not the only one going through this. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he flee from you. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Protect your head. Protect your head. Put your helmet on. What do you allow to enter your mind? The world, the flesh, and the devil can defeat us with one strategic shot to the head. Remember, you're saved and nothing changes that. Allow the Word of God to encompass your thinking, even bring it into captivity so you will not be vulnerable to the wiles of the devil. Thank you for being patient. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this evening. What a wonderful thought, the helmet of salvation. Thank you for salvation is full and free, never changes its ires. And Lord, help us, though, to strengthen the use of that helmet by remembering the Word of God and remembering our promises and remember that we're saved through you, not of works, as any man should boast. Lord, help us speak to our hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our